And today we're making power cells, really. A power cell, Carla, is a energy collective system. Picks up ambient energy and converts it into usable power. You know, I read about making power cells by T. Townsend Brown a long time ago. T. Townsend Brown took minerals and found that they give off electricity. I read up, I tested certain minerals to see what kind of voltage readings I get off the minerals. So I read about T. Townsend Brown's work and decided to do some experiments. Well, the first experiments I did was for a group of business people to make a power unit that's non-moving power technology, and I did so. Using barium titanate cylinders I bought from Ferro Radio Sales that give off their own natural power. Rochelle salts, I actually read about those in many books for a long time, and they were used for making crystal microphones and other power generating stuff. And recently, using Epsom salts, we add that to the Rochelle salts and get a unique crystal formation. Simplistic technology, really. And also we found that the Epsom salts increase the power. Work with the Rochelle salts in a symbiotic relationship, creating a little bit more power. And sodium silicate has been used for making power cells. And it's a recent introduction, about a couple of years ago, into the mix as well. The sodium silicate, when it dries out, it forms crystalline structures which are compatible to the Epsom salts and Rochelle salts. In making your power cells, you're going to need a small file like this for the doping agent. You want to file off some small amounts of it off the galena and iron pyrite. You'll need this to hold maybe this here like so, or grab other small items to form it. This here you can use for crushing or holding hot items when you're making your power cell. And most important, of course, is your volt ohmmeter, so that you can take readings of the voltage and milliamps that you get from your power cell. We have here a small cylinder where we're going to be putting the mixture in. And in the center of the cylinder, we're going to put a small, thin piece of metal inside that to act as a positive. We use tiny amounts of doping agents like iron pyrite. We use doping agents in small quantities like iron pyrites and other minerals like galena to add to the rectification of the voltage inside of the power cell. Of course, the power supply, which is 12 volts DC, and what we do is apply, after we heat up the substance, we apply a small amount of direct current to the power cell to polarize the elements inside, and then take the power off, and it's, after that, self-reactive. In this particular case, you need a small ladle because we're going to be making just a small power cell, and you only need, instead of a large container, just a small ladle like this to put your mixture in when you heat it up, and then you pour it into the crystal power cell. And you can heat it up directly on the stove. But be careful, you don't want to heat it up too hot. I have decided to open source all my technology. I've taught Nancy, and Nancy will now teach you how to make a power cell.
Okay, let's make some crystal power cells. And we start with Rochelle salts and Epsom salts. Now, Rochelle salts are made from cream of tartar and baking soda. And there are recipes on the internet on how to make your own Rochelle salt. When we weren't getting Rochelle salts, because we bought it off of eBay, and sometimes they have it and sometimes they don't, we've been able to use the cream of tartar and the baking soda and heat it along with the Epsom salts, and we still do get a power cell. Not quite as strong, about 10% less in power than the Rochelle salt when we get it directly from a manufacturer. So if you can't get the Rochelle salts, go on the internet, look for a recipe for Rochelle salts, and you use cream of tartar, organic cream of tartar, like from your co-op, and you can get a bag of it, and baking soda. So I'm going to take one part Rochelle salt, and 2 parts Epsom salt. I'm going to put it in this glass container here because that's what I'm going to use for mixing. Now, we're going to only use a very, very small portion of our mixture, but I need to dope it. And we only use a very, very tiny amount of doping in the power cell mixture. And so since I'm going to be only making one tiny cell, to be able to do that with the doping is a little bit difficult. And this way I have extra materials for making more cells. So we're going to take one portion. This is just a quarter cup measure. It's a little bit less than a quarter cup. And we put it into the container. The Rochelle sometimes will come lumpy. If it comes lumpy, just pull it up and just squish it with your hands because you want it smooth, because we're going to try to make as smooth of a compound as possible. One, two. Go get a spoon and mix this up. All right, now our doping agents. We've got calcium carbonate, and we're going to take that crystal. So you can see there's this fine powder that's coming off. This is a silver medallion that's 99.99% silver. You have to be careful with this, especially the smaller cells, because your cells can short out by having too much silver or too large of a particle of silver in. Iron pyrite, also known as fool's gold. So how do I know how much to put in here? I don't know. I've made hundreds and hundreds of these and experimented with various compounds to put in. And this is our little magic piece, which is galena. Normally you're not supposed to hold this with your hand because it does contain lead. And galena acts as a radio receiver. I can look in the top and see the galena and the other compounds on there. Now I'm going to wash this and wash my hands and be right back. Drying off the file, my hands. Make certain that your hands remain clean. You don't want any contaminants on your hands or oils. So we're going to put our doping agents off to the side. Take a look here. And again, we want to stir. And stir. It's quite a humid day today, and so the salts are kind of clumping. That could cause some problems in heating. You have to be extremely careful about the moisture. Now I'm going to put these off to the side, and we're going to prepare the actual components of the cell. Normally this is enough for approximately 30-40 cells, because the cells are only going to use about this much of the compound, one cell. What we've found is that the smaller the cell, the better it works. Everything happens right on a microscopic level. And I've taken sodium silicate now. I've put a little bit in this glass. Sodium silicate, we've bought this directly, but you can also find it in the auto parts store. This particular sodium silicate is quite thick. It originally was low moisture content, and then we let it evaporate some. And there's a reason why we don't want the moisture, is that we don't want the chemical reactions happening due to the water. So I'm taking this piece of galvanized, very thick galvanized wire, and I'm gooing it into the sodium silicate. And what we're going to do is take, this is copper tubing, so we have different metals, not like metals. You can use two like metals, like silver and copper, but we found that different metals work better. Now see, I've got this little piece of the sodium silicate coming in here. What I want to do is get in here and create a coating of the sodium silicate. The coating of the sodium silicate is going to do a couple of things. One is it's going to act as a glue, and we found that as these cells will, over time, dry out and actually grow, the crystal structure grows, they will pull apart from the metal. And having the Sylvanian silicate on here acts as a glue. As well, it facilitates the crystalline structure. It becomes part of that and part of the energy. Because this is so small, I've got a block here to put it in, and I'm going to put my other piece here and block it in the block as well. Clean my hands again. One of the important things on the cells, especially the ones that are made out of cylinders, is that the back end of it needs to have some type of a plug. And in copper tubing, we found that a simple Q-tip works, especially if you can take and compress the cotton up to the end, and you place that in the bottom, and then clip it. Okay, so now this has been prepared. It's going to be sitting here in my form and ready to go. John mentioned about pouring into the cells. We found that with the smaller cells, it's very difficult to pour it in, so we'll show you the other procedure that we're using. So we're going to put this off to the side, and we're going to move over to the stove. So this is going to be a two-handed kind of an event here. I'm going to be putting the compound into the ladle. This will be heated up, and then I will need to take my piece of wire, the galvanized wire that's been coated in the sodium silicate. And once this is heated to the correct level, I'm going to spin it around inside of here and then place it into the tube. And we'll have actually lots of extra compound. So I'm ready. It's two-handed. Let's start the stove. We're on a medium heat. The Rochelle and Epsons are just starting to melt. I'm going to swirl this in, and we go into the cell. Now, as we notice, we've got some of this coming out. We're going to try to move it into it as much as possible. Come down, come back for a little bit more, and push down. Pushing with your thumb on the plug. All of this is water-soluble, by the way. Push into the form. Now, let's check and see if we are at power. We have not put the charge on this yet. We're just checking and seeing where we're at and making sure that we're not shorting out, because we have a very, very, very slow, very small tolerance on this. Generally, the inside is our positive and the outside is the negative, except this time it's the other way around. So right now we're showing 0.748 with the outside being our positive and our inside being the negative. Well, and this even likes it even more. So we're dealing with heat right now. We're dealing with any moisture that might be having a chemical reaction with especially the copper. And what we want to do is just give it a short little hit with the power source. And by doing so, we're setting up the alignment of the crystals. And then we're going to let it rest and see how she does. Pick our leads and just slap them on here for a second. There we go. Coming off at 1.6, 1.59. So it's going to settle down. All that's doing is just setting up information to the cell as to how it's supposed to be sending its charge. Okay, we're going to go back to the stove, and I'm going to show you what you don't want to have happen. This is what happens when you go too far on your compound, is that, see, we have this nice taffy, and we're able to work with it. And notice the white that's building around the edge. You have gone too far when you have a pan full of white, or a ladle full of white. You can kind of recover it if you're spinning it around, but very shortly you will see that the Rochelle and Epson doped mixture will become solid white. It will become difficult to work with, and it will not be effective as a power cell. So you see how white everything is getting here. You do not want to go that far. So this is how we make crystal power cells. And we have made hundreds and hundreds of different crystal power cells. Let's look over back at her cell and where she's sitting at now. She's going to be settling down. Generally, what they do is they settle down to their voltage that they were before you put them on the power supply. Power supply gives them a boost of energy. All we want it to do is line up those the crystalline structure, and we generally will end up with something around 0.5, 0.7 volts on something that is this size. Your amperage is going to vary wildly, and it's determined by the shape of the cell. The flat cells, which we'll be showing some of those, that you can actually build between pennies or between different pieces of flat metal, are going to have voltage but extremely low amperage. The ones that carry amperage are going to be your cylinder sizes, the cylinder shapes like this one here. Well, this guy got a nice little shot coming off of with 7 milliamps off of the charge. You will not maintain that. I'm very definitely sure that they will not, this is coming from the charge that they've gotten their amperage. The key thing is to make sure that they are properly made in the first place so that you don't have a lot of moisture and thereby you don't have a lot of that chemical reaction going. You want them to dry out, and I've usually given them a little bump like we just gave on this power supply after they've dried out. Once they've dried out and I've given them a bump, that generally means that's the power that they maintain. And then it's also very important to put them on a load. And finding the particular load is difficult because you have to have a series of these in order to have enough to actually power something. And you need them made identical. You need to have all your standards down because they are very particular. The cells are very particular. And when they work together in series or parallel, that they're exactly the same. Now we have some extraordinary power cells that are not these little cylinders, but they are totally different forms. They give off AC and DC current at the same time, and one of them actually created a force field, is all I can say it was, and I'll show you that in a clip later, and mutated and melted a bunch of aluminum. So these are extraordinary pieces of technology, very simple to make, and they really are our way of breaking free of power grid.